on that. I saw Rodrigo slipped in. Good to see you, man. We are praying for you as we just have. We will continue to do that. And I know if there are ways that you want to give, I mean, there's all kinds of great organizations that are doing good restorative work in Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico, in the Caribbean. But if you are looking for an organization, the denomination that we belong to has already sent money and is mobilizing teams to go to these areas and to help rebuild, and we'll have a link to that on our website if that would be helpful to you. All right, so as Mitty said, we're in this final week of a series in which we're talking about our mission as a church. And what we're trying to figure out is, you know, as finite, limited people that we are, and we are exactly that, where do we focus our energy and our time? We only have so much to give, so what is God asking us to pay attention to and to address? And the way that we've been trying to answer that question has come out of trying to answer the question, another question, what is God's mission in the world? What if our mission was closely connected to God's mission? Wouldn't that be a great thing? That kind of makes sense, right? And so this verse here in 2 Corinthians 5 has shown up most weeks, I think. Here it is again. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Ah, the gift of the scriptures. You know, in this instance, making it clear that one of the things that God is calling us to is this ministry of reconciliation. We've been asking ourselves, though, what does it mean to be reconciled? That's really important. Are we on the same page about what that word actually means? And if you have notes, and maybe you've been taking notes each week, there are these little half sheets of paper floating around on chairs today as well, right? Reconcile comes down into two Latin subwords, re, right, which means to back, and concile, together again. So to be reconciled is to bring back together those things that have splintered, fractured, are incomplete, unwhole. And as we've been talking again, there are three components to that, maybe more, but we've been trying to make it simple and to think of my need to be reconciled to God. That's the me. The you is you and me. Our relationship together, the way in which God reconciles human relationships, and then today, this us, this truth we all know that we are more than just ourselves, and we're even more than just our immediate relationships. God calls us to a ministry of reconciliation that impacts the world. We see this in Colossians 1, we see it in lots of places, but here it's very clear. Colossians 1, 18 and 19. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself some things. You're reading along? Yes? All things, right? All things, whether on heaven or things on earth, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So God is reconciling everything. Not some of creation, not a few people groups. God is reconciling all of it. All things in heaven, all things on earth are to be brought back together again. And of course, it's no secret to us that there's plenty in this world that has not been brought back together. There is plenty that is broken and fractured. And as we prayed for Mexico City and Puerto Rico, Florida and Houston, and as we watch this growing escalation between North Korea and the United States, as we watch abhorrent genocide of the Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. Have you seen this? Are you paying attention to what's going on over there? Or the growing public boldness of white supremacy. I mean, it's overwhelming, the brokenness of this world sometimes. The fracturing and the splintering. I think we're very well aware of how desperately our world needs us to put our prayer into words and actions. So what do? In a world that is this complex and is this fractured, what should we do? What can we do? I think the scriptures perhaps show us how to move forward. And let me offer a couple of thoughts here. And again, if you're taking notes, here's the first one. If we want to be a part of God's reconciliation in the world, we have to remember that reconciliation in our world and in our lives go hand in hand. Reconciliation in the world is inextricably linked to the reconciliation of our own lives. Listen to Jesus' words from John 15. Jesus says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." All right, so we see both of these in play here. If you kind of look closely, Jesus says, you are to bear fruit. You're to be a part of the reconciling movement of God in the world. Fruit does what? It brings health, strength. The way that fruit's often talked about in the scriptures, it brings healing and wholeness. So Jesus says, you're to bear fruit. You're to be a part of the healing of the world. And you're to be pruned and redirected by the gardener. And right, there's something happening in us as well. You don't have one without the other. They go hand in hand. And I think this is really important for maybe our church especially to just keep in mind. Because I think we're a group that seems to be very socially justice-minded. And thank God that we are. But I think sometimes there's at least the risk that we would care about all of these things out in the world and being a part of its healing and God's work in it and neglect the reconciliation that God wants to do in our own lives. And Jesus says you can't have one without the other. You cannot work tirelessly for peace and justice without knowing God's peace in your own life. It's hard to bring healing and wholeness to the world unless you are being healed and made whole. I quoted Richard Rohr a couple of weeks ago. Let me just quote him again. He says, "We can only offer to others what God has done in us." That doesn't mean your life has to be put perfectly back together. That's not what he's saying, nor is it what Jesus is saying. But there does have to be a reconciling happening in us in order to be a part of what God is doing in the world. So we asked this question 2 weeks ago when we started this series, because that Sunday was all about this, my need to be made whole again. But I'm just going to ask it one more time. What parts of your life need to be reconciled? What parts of your life are fractured and splintered? What parts of you is God ready to make whole again? The reconciliation of the world and of our lives, they go hand in hand. It's one thing to just be mindful of this morning. The other one is related to that, but a little different at the same time. That reconciliation is possible through Christ, not you. Listen again to Colossians 1, which we looked at just a moment ago. Do I have it up here? Oh, no, I don't. So I'll just read it for you. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things." Now, what Paul's reminding us may feel very obvious to you, but I think it bears repeating. God is not asking you to save the world. God is not asking you to right every wrong, to tackle it all. The gospel does not ask of you to be the savior. The reconciliation of the world comes through Christ. Jesus speaks of this in John 15. This is verse 5 now. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, there are two promises here. One is, well, they're both actually really good news. The first promise is that you will bear fruit. Isn't that great? Not that you might, or that there's a chance that you might bear fruit. No, Jesus says you will, actually. There will be times in your life, seasons, moments when you are bearing fruit that brings healing to the world. That will happen if you remember this other promise, that apart from me, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. See, one of the things that Jesus is reminding us is that reconciliation and renewal are inextricably linked to remaining. If you remain in me and I in you. Now, friends, I found out over the course of my life the hard way about just how true this is, that unless I'm connected to the vine, I cannot sustain the work that leads to justice and reconciliation. Do you know what this is like? We often call this getting burned out. Do you know what this is like? Maybe you know what it's like to be passionate about an issue. Anyone ever been passionate about an issue? Felt compelled to act, motivated to do something, excited, ready to go. And in fact, you did. You got to work. You rolled up your sleeves, you put your feet on the ground, and you started to pursue the reconciliation of the world. And maybe for a while it went really well and was meaningful, and you saw transformation happening, but then there came this point where it was all just too much. The pain that you were trying to heal was too deep, the injustice too systemic, and you couldn't do it any longer. Anybody ever gotten to that point? If you cut a branch from the vine, it cannot bear fruit. The gardeners among us can attest to this reality. We cannot be a part of God's reconciliation in the world apart from Christ. We must remain. So here's a question to just consider for a moment. In what ways are you remaining in Christ? What does that look like in your life? Are you doing any remaining? Or are you just doing? Friends, if that is all that is happening, is that we're just trying to do and we're never being, we're never resting in Christ, we're never understanding Christ's work in our lives, we're never remaining connected, we will reach the point of burnout. It will not be sustainable. So, a couple of things, right? The reconciliation of the world goes hand in hand with our own reconciliation. And what God tells us, the good news of the gospel, is that it's not up to us to save the world. It's not all up to us. It's through Christ that the world is reconciled. Our task is to remain connected to the vine. That still, though, those two things still leave the nagging question, so what should I do? Chris DeBlay, September 24th, what do I do today to be a part of God's reconciliation in this world? Oy. Wouldn't it be great if I could tell you? If we ended today's message with you all coming up and me prescribing for you like a doctor does, a prescription, exactly what you should do tomorrow and the next week and just laying it out. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
Thank you. It ain't going to happen. Instead, let's look at this image one more time. This is in our strategic plan. It's on the sheet the little half sheet today for notes. We've talked about it, I think, both of the last 2 weeks. Those three words up there are the me, the you, and the us. A little hard to read. But this image is trying to capture this idea that these three areas of reconciliation play off of and feed into each other. So, my relationship with Christ and my relationship with you, the me and the you, shapes how and where and when I participate in the reconciliation of the world. Think about this for a moment. What God is doing in my life, how God is reconciling me and revealing to me what parts of my life are broken and fractured, and then binding those up and bringing those back together. As God does that, it becomes a little more clear about how I should participate in the reconciliation of the world. Like, I become more aware of how I'm gifted, the more reconciled I am to God. The more God makes me whole and into my true self, the more I realize how I'm gifted, what my abilities are, what I have to offer the world. I also realize my limits. When God is reconciling you, God will help you understand what your limits are, what your boundaries should be, maybe what fears are at play and are keeping you from entering into the world's reconciliation. On and on it goes. As we remain in Christ, Christ helps us understand what and when and how to participate in the reconciliation of the world. Let me give you a concrete example. Bethany mentioned that last night we were at this art prize movie, 2 hours and 20 minutes on the current state of the refugee crisis in this world. We thought we were going to like a 20-minute movie. And we all looked at our watches about, you know, halfway through, hoping it was almost done. Not because it wasn't good, but because it was so overwhelming. I hope it's called the flow. Human flow. You should watch this film. But it's hard. It's beautiful. The resiliency of humanity is remarkable, but it is hard to watch. And you get to the end of it and you are overwhelmed. What in the world can I do, right? And don't we feel this way about a lot of the world's problems? So I started to ask myself as I was sitting there, well, what has God been telling me about who I am and about what I have to offer the world and about the responsibilities in my life to my kids and my wife and my jobs and what kind of space that leaves for me to participate in reconciliation in healthy ways? All this is going through my mind. This knowledge, this work that God is doing in me influences how I participate in the reconciliation of the world on this one. And I did leave still feeling a little overwhelmed, but less than I would have. I know it. Had I not been open, as I've tried to be lately, especially lately, to God's reconciliation in me. Okay, so this, what God is doing in me, what God is doing in you, can be directive for us. The other part of this is our community. Being in community can help shape the way that you give your time and your energy in the world. There have been many, many times in my life when God's Spirit has moved in me because of you. Someone has raised an issue I didn't know anything about. Someone has this burning passion that they make known. Again, I maybe wasn't passionate about it, but I could see what God was doing in them, and it moved me. It directed me. I'll be real honest. Would I be as mindful about Puerto Rico if I were not in relationship with Rodrigo? Probably not. Just being very honest. But this relationship, being in community with him and with their church, it moves, it's directive, right? It helps steer me in kind of figuring out how to spend my time and my energy. So as we're trying to figure out, gosh, what do I do? The world is broken in a million places. What could I possibly offer the world? How do I spend my time? What do I focus on? I think we would be wise to pay attention to what God is doing in the communities of our lives. I think there's this myth in Christian circles that Chris DeBlay is always, every moment of his life, going to have a clear call from God towards one specific issue in the world to give his life to. That's not been my experience. I'm not sure that's the way that it works. What has happened again is that because of my relationships with you and what God is doing in your life, that has influenced or steered or helped direct me towards understanding how to spend my time and my energy. Some people say, well, I don't really feel passionate about anything, so I'm not going to do anything. And I go, whoa, whoa, hold on. You don't actually get the choice about whether or not you're going to act out love in the world. That's not an option as a Jesus follower. So if you don't feel passionate, maybe a question to ask yourself is, what does my community feel passionate about? What does my spouse feel compassionate about? What does my roommate feel compassionate about? And maybe that is what I join in for the time, for the season. So my relationship with Christ and my relationship with you can help direct me. Now, again, I am not writing you a prescription today. I'm sorry. There's work for you to do. You've got to wrestle with this on your own. But those two things are things to pay attention to as you're trying to figure out where to be involved in the world. All right. We're going to wrap up this moment here, as we've done each of the last 2 weeks, with just some space for you to reflect. And there's a leaf probably somewhere around you. This week it's red. Last week, I don't know, it was green, I think. The week before, yellow. And we've been writing down on those leaves just as a very tangible way to kind of mark this moment. We've been writing down a prayer. We've been writing down a hope. We've been writing down a need. We've been asking God for whatever is kind of stirring in our hearts in this moment. And then to just help get it out of our head and maybe into our hands and our feet, we're bringing them up here and we're putting them on this board. There's double-sided tape up here, lots of rolls of it, so don't feel like you need to stand in a single file line. You can gather around this table as you put these up here this morning. This is becoming a visual of what God is doing in us and of what God is stirring in us. And hopefully, therefore, it's an encouragement to us as well. So we're going to take, you know, about 7 or 8 minutes for you to reflect, to write if you want to, and to come up here and put it on. We also have stations for communion, two up in the front. And the front ones are also have gluten-free crackers, if you're gluten-free. And then there's a station in the back. If you'd like, you could take communion today. This gift of God that reminds us that Christ came, and through him, he is reconciling the world. So let me pray for this space, that God would not only be speaking to us, I think God is always speaking, that we would have ears to hear and then respond. So let's pray together.